Well, good morning, everyone. Glad to have you all here. It's a beautiful day, especially a beautiful day being in the house of God. I always say, I know it looks like a school, but on Sunday mornings, it's been consecrated and dedicated unto the work of the Lord. So this is a sacred space. I just love having the kids in here. I know that the Spirit of God just permeates this building even after we leave on Sundays. So we continue with the book of Acts, and tonight's episode deals with chapter 8, really, kind of the book of Acts, and talks about how the Simon the sorcerer and how Philip the evangelist goes forward, because we talked about last week the persecution, right? Stephen was stoned, and the church begins to spread out. And so we will see that many great things happen because of difficulties, because of trials, because of tribulation. We talked about that last week. Those things that happen that seem uncomfortable for us, but that God uses to his glory. And so the church goes through persecution, and we're going to see wonderful things that happen. So I'm going to pray this morning, and then we're going to read this scripture. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this word, oh God, that there is so much that we can take away from, God, that we want to be... We want to be like the church in the book of Acts. We want to be expecting miracles and signs that point to you, God. We want to be used of you like the apostles were, in faith, stepping forward and praying and believing for mighty things. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that as we raise up to be those people, God, that we would hold fast to what a true Christianity looks like, God, what true faith looks like, and never settle for something less. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, we're going to read from the book of Acts. So if you have your Bible with you, we're going to begin in the 8th chapter, like I said, in verse 5. All right, beginning in verse 5, it says, Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention, exclaimed, "This man is the divine power, known as the great power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had yet not come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I may lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." And Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart, for I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." And it goes on in verse 25, when they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. All right, incredible story. So today's message is called Counterfeit Christianity. Anybody shop for groceries here? There is something that's very popular out there, and I would say that I have ventured to do the same, is to buy generic brands. So if I said cola, that's generic for Coke. If I said Tasty O's, Cheerios. cream-filled chocolate cookie. Exactly. We've convinced ourselves somehow, right, that the generic brands, the knockoffs, are just as good. They're just as good as the main brands. And we settle. We're willing to accept them because we aren't willing to pay the price for the real thing, right? We stand in the store and we look at the prices and we go, eh, that's good enough. And you go for the one that's the generic because of the price. So I would venture to say that sometimes that happens with our faith. We're not willing to pay the price for the real deal. And we settle for a shadow of the real thing, a counterfeit Christianity. So as we can see in today's story, this is nothing new, right? This has been going on for a long time. Due to persecution, like we talked about, Philip began to preach in Samaria. Now let me just take an aside here. Does anybody know how the Jewish people thought of the Samaritans? Fans, not fans. Not fans. All right, the Samaritans were a mixed race. Half Jewish, you know, and half sometimes the pagan and Gentile religions. And so, and oftentimes when we had gone before and heard Jesus, oftentimes they would travel around Samaria. They wouldn't even cut through Samaria. But Jesus had said, right, in Acts 1:8, that the Holy Spirit will come on you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the rest of the world. So Samaria is on the list. Doesn't matter if you don't like them. But God has called you to preach the gospel to them. So my question to you, this is a complete aside, has nothing to do with it. Where is God calling you to share his good news? Is it somebody you don't like? Sometimes that doesn't matter, right? Doesn't matter if we like people. Doesn't matter if we're friends. Doesn't matter if we like their lifestyle. God is saying, I'm calling you to be my witnesses no matter where I call you. And sometimes that's in your Samaria. So think about where that might be. But Philip goes in obedience down to Samaria and begins to preach. His faith and the filling of the Holy Spirit's made evident in the miracles and signs that he was able to accomplish. The witnesses of the truth of God's word through his signs and miracles were not just for the disciples, right? It's promised to all believers. This means you. Jesus even said, greater things will you do in my name than even I'm doing. Do you hold fast to that? Greater things. It's crazy, isn't it? Jesus, Son of God, and his promise to us is that greater things will be done in his name. And that's the critical part, in his name. As Philip continued to preach and perform miracles in Jesus' name, which is the true power of God, he developed a crowd. All right, so we have Simon the sorcerer, and we have Philip. Now, Philip is doing everything in the name of Jesus. People became attracted to what they saw. People, in general, seek signs and wonders. They like the show. They like to see the hoo-ha. Like, let's see all the fun. Let's see all the party. You know, we were just recently in Rockport yesterday, and I was mentioning to Sheila, I think, it's amazing you have this kind of collection, different, you know, eclectic collection of people in Rockport. But one thing that you see a lot of is a lot of the false gods, false religions, a lot of tarot readings, a lot of New Age crystals, you know, palm readings, divining, and that's all false things. People are looking for spirituality. They're looking for meaning. They're looking for purpose, but they're just looking in the wrong areas. And so it was with Simon and Philip. They were looking at Simon because Simon had the appearance of one that had power. So we have Philip on the one hand, truly preaching the word of God, and Simon, the sorcerer. So what is a sorcerer? So if I look it up in the dictionary, it's just a person who seeks to control and use magic powers. A wizard, a magician. In the Bible, when you hear the term sorcerer, it normally means somebody that's dealing with evil spirits. It's nothing of God. So the difference between Simon as one that wants to control and use magic and Philip is that one is a vessel and one is a controller. Philip is the vessel of God's power. Simon wants to control it. So that's our first test of true Christianity. True Christianity is marked by a willing vessel to be used by God. Counterfeit Christianity is marked by a desire to use God and control the Spirit of God. So people believed that Simon had power from God. They called it the great power. The term that they use is actually from the Samaritan Targum. It's an Aramaic translation of the Septuagint. So they thought it was something of God. But Simon tooted his own horn, right? Look at me. Look at me, my bad self. Look at all the stuff that I can do. I'm great. And he stands in front of them and says, I'm great. And it's all about bringing glory to self. On the other hand, Philip pointed to someone great. Everything that Philip did was in the name of Jesus. He never received glory, only pointed to God. And the people began to see that difference, one that was false and one that was real. Even Simon, the sorcerer, became a believer, and I'll put that in quotes, and was baptized. Why? Because he could see something. He wanted that something. So he professed a belief, he professed a faith, and he was baptized. So is that all it takes? Is that all it makes our faith real? To stand up, to respond to an altar call, to be baptized? Does that make us true Christians? Does that make our faith real? I would venture to say that faith is proved through testing and not through these outward signs. So word travels back to the apostles that something cool is happening in Samaria. They came and they confirmed that the Samaritans had saving faith in Jesus as Messiah, but had not yet received the Holy Spirit. So if they were to stay strong in the new faith, they needed the power of the Holy Spirit. So Peter and John, they travel, they lay hands on them, and then something happened. Now, as we read the book of Acts, a normative event when the something happens is that those that were filled with the Holy Spirit began to speak in other tongues. It's initial evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So that the pattern is they hear the word is proclaimed, they believe the word is proclaimed, and then they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Although it's not clear that this is what happened with these believers, we can be sure that it was something marvelous. Why? Because it was outwardly visible to those who witnessed it. Sometimes we think that we have this personal faith and that we believe, we step forward and we say, well, God's going to fill me with his Holy Spirit, and then we keep it to ourselves. Our faith should be evident to those that are around us. And in this case, it was very evident, so much so that Simon the sorcerer wants to buy whatever it is. I want to have the ability to do what you just did. This is a dude who claimed to have magical powers. He's basically saying, I want that. Whatever you just did, that was awesome. I want it. So Peter recognizes that Simon's heart, though, is not right. He recognizes that there's something not right in his heart. And again, that's another gift of the Holy Spirit, right? So Peter now, having been baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, is doing crazy things outside of his normal way of doing things, his normal character. And so he's been able to discern the spirit that's within Simon's heart. There are those that profess Christ and are able to put on a show, but their hearts are not right. And we see that because they're seeking after personal glory, personal wealth, developing or building a kingdom for themselves instead of building God's kingdom. And so in this case, Simon's heart was not right. He wanted the gift, but not for God's glory, but for his own. And that is another defining characteristic of our faith. True faith seeks to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ and glorify him. False faith seeks gifts received for personal gain. Counterfeit Christianity seeks the gift for personal gain. So do we seek after the gifts for what we can do in God's name or for our own personal achievement, advancement, or the personal approval of people? Are we seeking after the gifts that God gives so abundantly for his glory, to be used for his glory, or for us to make a name for ourselves? And then he wants the apostles to actually delegate that authority. Hey, I'll offer you money, you give me that authority. I can't even imagine that the apostles would even consider that, least of all for financial or personal profit. They're not the ones that delegate the ability. Amen? Who's the giver of the gift? It's God. Simon wanted to receive power, not submit to power. So Peter tells him to repent, that his heart is not right. And when we find that we are seeking the gift and not the giver of the gift, then we need to repent. Simon never truly repents. If we read through the scripture again, he says, pray that this doesn't happen to me. Whatever you just said there, I want you to pray that that doesn't happen to me. Nowhere in Simon does he say, I'm sorry, I repent. That was wrong. He just wants Peter to pray. How many times in our lives have we asked for prayer for a recurring sin in our lives? A situation in our lives that we can't seem to bust out of, we can't seem to get a hold of, can't seem to get above. And you come to people and say, I really want prayer for this situation. Would you pray for this? It doesn't continue in my life. And yet we ask for prayer without true repentance. It doesn't work. We can't ask others to do our work for us. Pray for me that I might stop this thing. We need to repent and turn from the thing. God has to do that work. And so Simon wanted Peter to pray that all that wrath, the wrath of God, would be assuaged, but not repent. How often do people seek prayer without true repentance? That, again, is counterfeit Christianity, seeking the favor without the commitment. We want the blessings of God without being actually truly committed to the ways of God. True faith, a true Christianity, seeks to serve God no matter what. And then God will bless the obedience in our hearts. Peter then tells Simon that he sees that Simon's full of bitterness and captive to sin. It's basically idolatry. Deuteronomy 29:18 says this. Make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. The truth is that idolatry is a poison that spreads throughout the body. True Christianity, true faith, has one God. Counterfeit Christianity sits the gift, the power, the blessings as the God. And the true God is just a tool to gain those things. Matthew 6:33 says this, and you quoted this when you were saying the offering this morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We have to seek first God's kingdom. Seek first to serve him only. Seek first to make him Lord and Savior of our lives first. God is a good God. Seeks to pour out his blessings upon his children. But he wants children that are obedient, that are committed. I mean, we've seen it. You get... I don't know, anybody ever watch Parks and Rec? That show? I do. I love that show. Sad it's over. But the Fonz plays a doctor, okay? Henry Winkler, and he has these two kids. And all they do is go, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy! I love you, love you, love you, love you! I want some money. And it's funny, but in the same way, we do that to God, don't we? I love you, I honor you, I worship you today. You need to do this for me. And our hearts are not right. We want God, we want to manipulate God's favor instead of being truly committed to him first, regardless of what we receive, because he's worthy. Seek him first, it says. Simon was enslaved by sin. That's what Peter said. You are in bondage to sin. Even Paul mentions that in Romans 7, right? I am a slave to sin. What I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, I do. It's something that we struggle with, but God already has given us the victory over that. So even though Simon had believed, quote unquote, and was baptized, he still was struggling with this root that had gone down deep in his life. So believing, confessing, being baptized, these are just the initial steps in a faith journey that brings us to a place that we are more and more like Christ, that sanctification process throughout our lives where we commit each and every day. And we have to remember that we need to repent, to submit, and then commit our lives. And whenever we get off of that journey, we need to do it again. Repent, submit to his authority, his lordship in our lives, and commit to following after him. Even Simon understands the power of prayer, but he only asks that God's wrath be asked away. Like I said, he doesn't repent. He's aware of God's power, but ultimately remains rebellious. Sometimes we are very much aware of God's power, but we live in rebellion. Why? So what do? Do we really want an easy Christianity? Do we want all the blessings and all the favor and all the good stuff? Without the commitment, without the repentance, without the submission to God. He is the giver of all good gifts. But we don't want to manipulate his favor. So here's a scripture that Paul writes to Timothy. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. Does it sound like the times we are living in right now? They will be unloving, unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. And I would say, let's just not be people like that. Let's be true Christians. Our yes be yes, our no be no. Our faith, as it's lived out on Sunday morning between 10 and 11:30 in the morning, looks exactly like it does Monday through Saturday. And the rest of Sunday. Because we're not here to make a show. God's not impressed with the acting ability that we have. The masks that we put on or choose to put on or not put on. But that true faith would be submitted to God. That we wouldn't be counterfeit Christians. There's no power in that. People can see right through what we pretend to be. And they will never, never be convinced to lay down the things of the world, to follow after a God that is made of sawdust and painted and false. We need to act and accept these three things, like I said. The first one is to repent. Nobody likes that word. We like to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And anybody that's been in a relationship for any length of time, if you've been married for any length of time, if I'm sorry is not followed with a change of behavior, it means nothing. When we say I'm sorry to God for our behavior and we change nothing, it means nothing. It's empty words. We need to truly repent. That repent, right, means taking that 180. We're going this way. We realize we're wrong. You know, if we have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling within us, that conviction comes. Listen to it. Listen to the Spirit of God within you. In turn, repent. But we don't do it alone, right? We repent knowing that we have a God that lives and dwells with us. We have an advocate. We have a comforter, somebody that comes alongside of us, and we say, we submit to these things. I submit to the power of Jesus Christ in my life. I submit to you as Lord and Savior of my life. You rule. I want that protection from your wrath. I want to be saved. I want to know that you are Lord and Savior of my life. And so we submit. We repent. We submit. And then we commit, right? We talked about the commitments that we make last week, right? Go, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey, right? And then we do that cycle all over again. And if we find in the middle of the going, making, and doing, and all of that we make a mistake and we sin before God, what do? Repent, submit again, and then commit to what he's asked us to do. It's not complicated, but it's not necessarily simple. I mean, easy. We need to know that that we're not perfect, right? Anybody here perfect? And that we need to change. When we repent, we actually change our behavior, first and foremost, that we submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and that we commit to serving him and his call upon our lives. Amen? So, before we close this morning, I'd just like to encourage you. I'd like to pray with you too. Seemed like it wasn't an easy word today. Was it all right? I love you. You know that, right? So I have been following all along the AD sermon series and doing what they told me to do. You're going to do this passage. We're doing this. Bah, 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 bah. This week, I couldn't do it. I said, God has given me this word. So I believe that this is in time, right? God's timing is perfect. I had a whole thing they gave me, and I went, I can't do it. Because I believe that even though we're in the book of Acts, that this story is for us. This timing, God's timing is always perfect. And so I want everybody to be able to live a life filled with the abundance of God. Not defeated. Not where our heads are held down, but that we live truly in victory. A victory that's of God. Because there's so much more to living for God than just existing. And too often we're doing this kind of like kabuki dance over what God is really asking us to do. Trying to kind of go around and maybe not do everything and trying to expect that everything's going to turn out the way that we want. And we have to understand that there's certain things that God says in his word that we need to do. And I want that for you. I want your testimony to be, you know what, I turned away from this. And God helped me do that. It wasn't easy. And the church of Jesus Christ, the body that I have, that I belong to here at Sanctuary, came along aside of me and helped me and prayed with me and walked me through that. And now my life is a testimony to somebody else that might be going through the same thing. But that only comes when we repent and submit to him. Our lives are only a testimony as we give God the glory for what you allow him to do in your life. So I'm just going to invite you this morning. If there's anyone here that's never made that commitment, you know, I talk about repenting and then committing again to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If there's anyone here that's never done that before, never said, you know what, I want to follow Christ today, I'm tired of struggling. And I'm going to tell you that life doesn't immediately become rainbows and puppy dogs, okay? When we say we're going to follow after Christ, there will be difficulties, right? God's word says there will be trials, there will be tribulations. But we never face them alone any longer. You're going to have trials and tribulations anyway. Don't you want to do it with God alongside of you? Is there anyone here that's never made that commitment today that would like to come forward? I'm just going to invite you to raise a hand. Don't be shy. Is anyone? Oh, hallelujah. Well, let's just pray, Lord, that I'm going to pray over you today that you're going to be able to keep these commitments. And if you'd like to make these commitments to have God help you, have the Holy Spirit bring conviction when you're not doing the things that you should, to submit to him, to commit to his ways. Just pray. I'm going to invite you to stand, if you're able. I'm just going to pray over you this morning before we close. Oh, thank you so much, God, that we can come before you, Lord, as your children, God, knowing that you are a good God, that you are our Heavenly Father, that you are Abba Father, that you are Daddy. And God, you are the perfect parent. So God, even now, I am aware that there are those that have not had a good earthly father. And so God, I pray for those that have that image in their minds, God, that you would cleanse that from their minds, that they would not project that earthly father onto you, because you are the perfect father. And so whatever that father might not have been for them, God, that you truly are that you are faithful, that you do discipline us, but with mercy, that you love us before we've even thought of loving you, that you are the perfect father. And God, knowing that you are that daddy to us, we come before you, God. And boldly, and as a group, we repent, oh God, of those things that we have done that have broken your heart, because you want the best for us. And so things that we have done, oh God, we lay them before you, God. And we promise this day, with your help, that you would guide us into all righteousness, God, turning away from those things that not only break your heart, but wound us and mar the image of you in us. And so, God, we submit, God, that you are Lord and Savior of our lives this morning. And we commit to your ways, commit to your call, your great commission, God, that we would go and make disciples, God. But duplicating the good that you've done in our lives, not duplicating the bad that we choose. So we repent, we submit, we commit this day to be all that you've called us to be. And with your help, God, we know that we can do it. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we thank you, Lord, for this time in worship today, for your Holy Spirit that is present and moving. Bless our time around the wiffle ball court today. Maybe a time of fellowship and friendship, God, and a memory to be had and to be treasured. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.